pray next few days, okay, for the resurrection celebration we are going to have on Sunday morning. Folks, this don't take it lightly. This is life and death. God willing, they will come to know Jesus. And so their destination, the eternal destination, would be in heaven instead of hell. Please pray for that, and at the same time, pray for me. And pray that I may bring the right word without any hindrance. And of course, there's a lot of things that involved, all the ministries, they're getting involved. And there will be an attack from Satan. That you can count on that. And all the sound goes well and everything. And pray for the youth concert. April 30th happened to be the prom night. How's that for a change? You know, we request that night many months ago to school. Did the school know about it? Probably yes. For some reason, they didn't tell us. It's a junior and senior prom night. But that means that we still have a sophomore and freshman. And those oddballs who wouldn't go to the prom, God willing, we'll have them all. So it doesn't matter. I'm hoping that we can fill the auditorium and many young people come to know Jesus. That's why it counts. It doesn't matter how many people come, so how many people come to Christ. Okay, let's start. When I came to the United States in May 16th, 1981, I had $2,000 in my pocket. I came here with my wife and the little one over there. She's no longer a little one. She was about a year long. Anyway, we used $1,000 to buy a Chevy Impala, a 72 Chevy Impala. You know how big that is? A big, humongous boat. It's a battleship. Yeah, it's a tank, that's right. V8, gas hog, 10 miles per gallon. Anyway, it was 100,000 miles on, and also, because I didn't have any credit rating in the United States, so we had to use $1,000 and remain of $1,000 to get the apartment. So that means I was out of money. That's how we started. And I couldn't find a job as a graphic designer, and the first job I got is I was a cashier at the JCPenney's. In a way, it was good for me because I get to learn about the American culture rather quickly by dealing with the people there. Yeah. And my wife had to show me a lot of things about America because I practically did not know anything about the, you know, culture of America. I knew the history a whole lot more than a lot of American people because that's what I learned in Korea. She told me that and I need to find a job that gives a benefit and insurance, you know, vacation, that kind of thing. Having a brand new baby and it requires a lot of health insurance, but we didn't have that kind of thing. I stayed in the JCPenney for a little bit over a year, and then I became a self-employed graphic designer. Some of you guys are self-employed, so you know what that means. Self-employed means everything you want to do, you got to pay out of your own pocket. No such a thing as company paid vacation or the insurance, health insurance or dental insurance. So time went by. And for 8 years of being a self-employed, I didn't get to have any vacation. Because when you go somewhere, guess what? You don't make money. 1990, I got a job as a graphic designer in U.S. West Direct. And finally, for the first time, I took a vacation. It was company-paid vacation, so it was fun. And I got to my family get to have health insurance and dental insurance. And you were wondering, where are you going with this stupid story? I'm getting there. So patient with me. Our Heavenly Father provides the best benefit package than anyone in the universe. If I can name a few, that this CEO, the president of this heavenly business, provided not only hire people personally, and he knows them everything about that person, including number of the hairs. And he selected them individually. And he provided the best working environment. If that's not enough, this is the family-owned business, the Father, Son, and the Spirit business, right? And he provides the mind-blowing wage system. It's paid in advance. Whole chunk was paid by Son himself. And foolproof fire insurance. Trust me on that thing. And he also provides, as a retirement plan, he gives each one mansion in the heavenly prime real estate. And also he provides the constant spiritual training for our spiritual development. And he provides a phenomenal reward system for all the work we do. On top of that, this family business is so financially sound. The S&P is nothing. The New York Stock Exchange cannot compete with it. NASDAQ can't compete with it because he owns the entire universe. If he needs more capital, he simply makes more capital. There is no such thing as a bankruptcy or financial fraud like Enron or MCI would happen. Nobody comes close to this heavenly employer. But there's somebody who thinks that he is the competitor of God. Satan, of course. But the employees of Satan feel like they are living in hell, literally. Apostle Paul is trying to show us the benefit package that we receive being in Christ Jesus. I find the 6 benefits out of many, and one goal we find in chapter 5. That's why I'll elaborate all these benefit packages at the beginning. Let's start at the verse 1 of chapter 5, but we will pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. Just being selected, being elected by you, predestined with your foreknowledge, we are grateful for that. We are selected by the God Almighty before the universe was created to spend the eternal life with you. On top of that, you're giving us assurance, you're giving us the privilege and honor to bear your name. Why we deserve? We don't deserve it. There's one thing we deserve is hell. Yet you loved us so much that you rescued us by the blood of Jesus. So we adore you, we praise you, we honor you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. There's 3 popular misconceptions about death. First one I find is many people believe that death is a temporary transition. Some people believe that this is, you know, kind of between the life and death, there's a kind of holding tank known as purgatory. Folks, let me make it very clear to you. There is no such a thing as a purgatory, intermediate place between heaven and hell, and the unfinished business from this earth will be settled there. In this belief, of course, coming from the Catholic belief, and some Buddhism accept this portion too. And they said that if the people on earth still alive can pray hard with by peeling out some cash under the altar, and they can pull these people out of the confinement from the punishment and make them purified, and then giving them the status of perfection. So buy their way up to heaven. Nice concept. Good marketing business. Is it true? Actually, this purgatory, the word purgatory, comes from the root word purge, P-U-R-G-E. So in other words, it's a spiritual purging, taking the person out from the bad place to the good place. It started during the medieval time to make more money for the papacy. Now, their idea is that it's based on the apocryphal book, 2 Maccabees, this 12 chapter, 39 to 45. I have no idea what that's about. And they quote also Matthew 12, 31 to 32, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 15. I looked at those verses, and it has nothing to do with the holding tank. So to me, it doesn't make any sense. It does not have a biblical base. It's completely unbiblical. Second misconception about the death is reincarnation. For those who have a kind of slant eyes like me, believe this kind of garbage, and now it's permeating to the Western world. And they believe that the reincarnation is you die and you will come back in different body form. And when you came back with a different body form, then you do good things, you achieved happiness in next life. You do bad things, you will go through misery in the next life. To them, everything creeping around, everything walking around, everything running around is a former human being. Or you could, like a Shirley MacLaine, who is a high priestess of the New Age movement, she claimed that she was a former prince, 19th century. I thought, well, no wonder why you are in the boondock. Because she has a split personality. She doesn't know whether she's a man or a woman. It's a damnable doctrine from the hell. According to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, all of us die, how many times? Once. Not 500,000 times. Shirley MacLaine will find out when she died. When she drew the last breath, and when she will stand in the presence of God, and she will realize she's been deceived, and she deceived other people. Third concept is, some believe that this is the life, this is the only life we'll ever have, and there's not just such a thing as life after death. This is a grand finale. Once the last breath is done, you're dead. Epicurean ethic is coming out from this, and their idea is eat, drink, be merry. There is no tomorrow, so do whatever you want to do, do it now. In other words, live like a dog, die like a dog. Great concept. So use up your credit card to the maximum and give it to somebody else when you die. All three concept is unbiblical, and you can believe all you want. You can believe sincerely, and you're still wrong. If you want to challenge that, then just try the gravity on top of the building or top of the mountain. Try to believe that there's no gravity existing on the earth, and jump off, see what happens. Guess what? The truth remains, no matter what. Have you ever spent the time in tent? I know some of you guys are real outdoor people. I am not. My idea of camping is putting the bed sheet over the dining room table and crawl underneath. That's good enough for me. And if I have to stay in the Hotel 6 with a black and white TV, that's a wilderness. So, I don't care for the tent. However, you have to agree with me that the tent is not considered as a home. It's nice for a while. It's a special thing. But during the summertime, it's hot. During the wintertime, it's cold. Been there, done that. Thank you very much when I was younger. And when it rains, guess what? It leaks. And when it gets old, it sags. Doesn't this sound like your body and my body? As we get old, it starts sagging and it starts going, something goes wrong, and then more and more there's aching. And you know what they say about the zit? When we had the zit, all this, when that zit is finally cleared, we cannot see anything a whole lot. And now we have pain, more pain in our body than ever before. Medical doctor is making a living with listening to these groaning tents. That's us. For example, orthopedic surgeons, they try to keep the tent pegs in the place. And dermatologists try to keep their canvas stay in shape. And the general practitioner try to patch up here and there. And of course, plastic surgeons trying to make some canvas look like a brand new, but still sagging. That was the first benefit, that is, that eternal housing in heaven. So, first, I forgot to put this down. First benefit is eternal housing in heaven. And there's three misconcepts. Number one is purgatory. Number two is reincarnation. Number three is there's no tomorrow. Second benefit, God provides is to ensure the housing we have is have a deposit, the Holy Spirit within us. We'll start from verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Would you underline the word guarantee, please? So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. We groan because we are weary and this tent is sagging and painful. However, we don't want to be naked and cold without this tent. To assure that God is guaranteeing us that he is putting the down payment for our next home in heaven. Who would that be? It's Holy Spirit, God himself. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit coming, reside in our heart and telling us that he is our guarantee. Holy Spirit dwelling in us as a down payment, as I said, and the guarantee, the word guarantee is, when you translate it in modern day Greek word, is the same word as engagement ring. That, in my opinion, that's rather unique way they translate the engagement ring. Who are we? The church, the body of Jesus Christ. Who are we known as? The bride of Jesus Christ. So between bridegroom to be, bridegroom to Jesus Christ and the church, the bride, now we have an engagement ring. Remember the engagement and betrothal and then wedding. Soon we will find ourselves in the wedding ceremony in heaven. So we have that wedding engagement ring in our heart that is guaranteed the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense to you? Okay. While we are living in this earthly tent, we cannot touch or hear or see our God in tangible way. That means we cannot do it by sight. However, we have to do it according to our faith. So we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Someday we will see him. If the Lord tarries long enough, all of us will end up in 6 feet under, or preferably powdered and scattered all over. And when that happens, our spirit will be in heaven. For those who are born again Christian, then we will see Him face to face. We'll hear Him. We will be able to touch His precious hand as a nail pierced. It is no wonder Apostle Paul says he'd rather be in heaven than earth. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, please. Philippians is located right behind Ephesians in the New Testament. Philippians 1:21, please. Great memory verse. Philippians 1:21 says, "For me to live is Christ; to die is gain. For me to live here is in Christ Jesus. We are doing His will. But for me to die is gain. Why? Because we're going to be in heaven with Him. We cannot lose either way. As a born-again Christian, we cannot lose either way. However, before we go to the benefit package 3, we have to find ourselves, we find the goal for ourselves. What's the goal for our lives? Is to please Him. And we find that in verse 9 of chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, back to chapter 5, please. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Because Apostle Paul had this kind of confidence, and he was not afraid to go through the suffering, and he's not afraid of trials and tests, or even dangers. And heaven is not a simple destination to him. Guess what this heaven was to him? Motivation. To him, it was working toward heaven. Not to earn the salvation, but to earn the favor to God, to please Him. Our main goal in our life should be more than anything, more than being successful in our business, being successful in everything, or healthy. Our main goal should be pleasing Him. Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew 6, verse 33. Another good memory verse. Some of you guys already memorized this. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The foremost things in our lives should be pleasing God. Then God will take care of the rest. First thing first. Is the ambition wrong? I'm asking you. Selfish ambition, yes. But holy ambition is good. What would be holy ambition? Pleasing Him. When we please Him, that is a good thing. But when we put the emphasis on the self-seeking, carnal, compromising things, then God will not bless on that thing. Benefit package number 3. It is a reward according to what we have done on earth. We find the verse in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Underline judgment seat, please. Of Christ. That each one may receive the things done in the body. Let's try again. In the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and we also trust are well known. I also trust that they are well known in your conscience. Corinthian believers well understood the concept of judgment seat. What's the judgment seat? How many of you guys heard the word bema, B-E-M-A? Bema is an exact word, is a platform. It's a kind of platform where the ruler stood up and they give a judgment. It is well known to the Corinthian people. Also, it is well known to the Apostle Paul, because he stood in the bema, stood in front of the bema seat where this Roman governor Gallio and the hostile Jewish people went against him in Acts chapter 18. So to Apostle Paul, the bema seat is a rather familiar thing. So he is using this one. Bema of Christ is, however, much different than their bema. And this is bema of Jesus Christ, much different than the white throne judgment. Remember, we studied the book of Revelation. At the end, after the 1,000 years, a millennium, there is a white throne judgment. Remember that? Yes? You don't? What Revelation? Remember? Book of Revelation, we studied about 30 studies. See what I mean? Smart aleck is always in the cloud, on the cloud. Anyway, the white throne judgment is for the non-believers, for the sinners, those who are wicked, that didn't believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Before they end up in hell, before they end up in lake of fire, that's the judgment time. However, judgment seat of Christ is not for wicked people. It's for the believers. This is for the time where Jesus is going to judge us, and everything will go through before His eyes, all-knowing eyes, and He will tell us whether we did it with a proper motive or with good attitude. If I did anything in my lifetime with the right motive, that it will come through and become a jewel, and it will be on my crown. However, if I did things that with a wrong motive, self-seeking motive, for my own credit, then they will be burned up. And some people will come in with a semi-truckload of the work and come out with a little toothpick. And some people will have a bag full of stuff and they will come out all together from the fire. Folks, in God's eyes, quantity is not important, but the quality is. In God's eyes, the result is not important. The motive is. What we do according to God's will, according to God's way, for His glory, that means everything to Him. Benefit package number four, we find in verse 12. All of our debts are canceled by Jesus. Wouldn't that be nice if we can actually do it financially too? Huh? Pay off the house, pay off the cars, and all the credit cards. Voila! I bet many people want to be Christian if that's the case. Verse 12, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compelled us, because we judged thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You know, non-believers think that everyone should live in the way they please, whether you're homosexual or heterosexual, married, divorced, cheating their spouse or not. Whatever they make them feel good, just live like that. As I said before, Epicurean ethic is eat and drink, be merry, and tomorrow you die. What is there to look for? There's no hope. But we who are in Christ Jesus, we have an eternal hope. That is Jesus Christ. This is a flat out wrong way to live, living the way they want. If we live only by the praise of man, we go down, our emotion would go up and down from one end to another end. But if we look for the praise of God because we please Him, we can put our hope in Him. We can count on God all the time. Benefit package number 5 is we are new creation in Christ Jesus. We find in verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, underline that please, if anyone is in Christ, he is new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is a memory verse, folks. Memorize it, please. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Let me put it this way. Let me make a quick example before we go any further. Let's say you are alcoholic. I heard that one alcoholic was so bad. He was so bad. His daughter died because he didn't bring the paycheck, and she literally starved to death, and she was forced to death in many years ago in Chicago. At the funeral, he was so his body was driving him so much, and he peeled off the shoes from her cold feet and sold that shoes and got some more booze. But he came to know Jesus Christ. And eventually he became a pastor. God can change you. It doesn't matter what happened before. God can change you if you let Him. Key is if you let Him. I've seen many people who were addicted to many things. God literally set him free because they let Him do it. It doesn't matter what you have before. God can change your life. Let's continue in verse 18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing, underline imputing, this is a very important word, imputing their trespasses to them, but has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The world judges people according to what they look like. That's why it's so important for the people to keep themselves look good. And you look young and look strong, look charming. But in Christ, He sees in our hearts, so that really doesn't matter. The creation word, the creation that we just read, is Greek word KTISIS, katisis. It means the act of creation. When we come to know Jesus Christ, He literally cleaned the slate clean. Wipe the slate clean, and He literally created new things in our heart. Brand new person. Remember what the pastor, Pat Lazarevich, said last week? The night before, the night he went to bed, he was a liberal. He was so liberal, he made the Democratic look like a conservative people. That is a left wing, real left wing. And he got up as a conservative Republican in the next morning because he accepted Jesus Christ overnight. That's how He can change people. God wants to change our lives too. Every day. More like Jesus Christ. He doesn't settle with, okay, I changed your life first time, so I'm not going to change you again. No. He will continue to change us. He has commissioned us to show other people what He has done in our lives. That is our job. That's our commission. The word I asked you on the line, imputation, imputing, is a word coming from the banking business. And Pam will say, yeah, I know. You don't have to explain to me. I do that all the time. Imputing means that putting the put the one's account. Let's say you deposit money, okay? $200 into your account. That means the computer will notify your account that $200 went into your account. Or if you put the money into somebody else's account, the computer will let that account know that there's $200 in that account, additional $200. What this is that Jesus Christ, He took our sin and put all of that into His account, as if He is the one who committed all those sins. He who knew no sin became a sinner for us. Am I making sense to you? Literally, He took all of that onto Himself. Past sin, present sin, and future sin. In the same time, He gave us something different. Instead of sin, He gave us righteousness. He imputed His righteousness into our account. We gave Him garbage, and He gave us His treasure. We gave Him iniquity, He gave us righteousness. What a deal. So the result is all those sins who have been paid completely in full. It is finished. The word "it is finished" in the Greek word is paid in full. Completely imputed. Reconciliation is based on imputation. Because demand of God, the holy law, has been fully met on the cross, and God has been reconciled to a sinner and through Jesus Christ. All right, let's find one more package. Package number 6. We are the ambassadors for Christ, verse 20. Now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We serve an authority that the world cannot see, and in many ways we are like an ambassador of Jesus Christ. In the foreign country, we are like an ambassador in a foreign country. Even though we live in this foreign land, we do not report to this world, but we report to the different authority. We use a different language. We have a different culture. And we report to the one who are completely different in this world. However, we represent Him. What does the ambassador do in the foreign land? He bridging the gap between that country and our homeland. So our true home is heaven. Our true authority is Jesus Christ. And we are letting people know about who the Jesus Christ is through our action, through our lives. This primary message, the primary message of the Apostle Paul said about being an ambassador is located in verse 21, as we just read. Let's read it verse again, verse 21. For He made Him, He is, for He, that's Father God, made Him, who that be? Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that He might, we might become righteousness of God in Him, in Jesus Christ. Let's go to Isaiah 53, please. Isaiah is located right before Jeremiah, right after Song of Solomon. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Some of you guys, you already memorized this verse, this good verse to memorize. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief. When you make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. It pleased Father to bruise His own Son because He loved us so much. Let's make applications. Application number one, we need to use God-given opportunity that are limited to life. What do I mean? Life is short, but it's eternally significant. There's no second chance for many people. As much as we can, when God gave us opportunity, we need to spread the good news to the people. Because there is no purgatory and there is no reincarnation. And to somebody's, contrary to somebody's belief, there is life after death. Let other people know about there's no option after death. This is time to decide. There's no time to lose. We need to maximize God-given opportunity to let the people know about it. Second application, we need to maintain God's perspective in our point of view. We can be fooled by the worldly concept. Let me repeat one more time. We can be fooled by the worldly concept. It's easy for us to be fooled because our fleshly desire the worldly concept. We have an enemy, betrayer within, and the enemy without. Satan is out there to try to con us. He's out there like a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. If we are not careful, we will be devoured. We will not be possessed, but we can be oppressed. We can be deceived. We need to maintain God's perspective in our point of view. In everything. Let's stand up and pray.